Well, buckle your seatbelts, stretch out your arms and your legs, because I'm going to stretch out this message. Don't want to give Jordan any fodder to have fun with. Sorry, Jordan. On April 18th, 2010, a Guatemalan immigrant named Hugo Tail Yax was walking the streets of Queens, New York, when he recognized a woman being harassed by a knife-wielding man. Hugo approached the man and wrestled with him, allowing the woman to flee. But in the course of that, he was stabbed multiple times and was laying in the streets in a pool of blood. And video surveillance recorded the bloody aftermath. At the Home for the Dying, which the Missionaries of Charity have in Calcutta, there was a man who had cancer, his body half consumed by sickness. Everyone had abandoned him as a hopeless case. Mother Teresa came near to him, and she watched him tenderly. She encountered at first only the sick man's disdain. "How can you stand my body's stench?" Then quite calmly the dying man said to her, "You're not from here. The people here don't behave the way you do." Several minutes went by, and then the terminally ill man murmured a typical Indian expression, "Glory to you, woman." "No," replied Mother Teresa, "glory to you who suffer with Christ." Then they smiled at each other. The sick man's suffering seemed to stop. He died 2 days later. Mother Teresa stated, "Suffering by itself is nothing, but suffering as a share in Christ's passion is a great gift. Man's greatest gift is the possibility of sharing Christ's passion." Yes, it is a gift and a sign of God's love. This is the way the Father showed love for us. He gave his Son to die for us. It is the greatest gift of love ever. He gave himself in suffering for us. So what love is greater than that of someone who lays down his life for another? Hugo truly was a good Samaritan. But Jesus Christ performed the greatest act of love ever by dying a torturous death on the cross. Jesus' life on earth gave us the best possible example of how to live and love our neighbors. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we pray that our worship may be pleasing to you. We ask that your presence and guidance, for your presence and guidance today as we explore your word. Help us to apply your word as we go out in the community and apply your love. We ask that your hearts be open to you and your precious word. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. It's always a privilege, as many of you know, to dig into the word of God. You get a sense of peace and love that is just great. But I find this opportunity particularly enjoyable to share with Prince of Peace, a place that's very near and dear to our hearts. You are in our thoughts and prayers on a daily basis. I cannot overstate how much you mean to Debbie and I. This church family does what it's supposed to do. You lift each other up in prayer and further each other's walks with the Lord. In searching for a sermon topic today, I'm not doing what I want to do. I always start thinking like, oh, hey, I know a great idea. But I get led away because my ideas are usually wrong. And the Lord knows better. I was led to the parable of the Good Samaritan because the members of Prince of Peace have demonstrated such neighborly love and still are today. Mission trips to Alaska, Haiti, and right now, India, to name a few, are examples of spreading God's love. You've also demonstrated love in this community by the community meals and quilting, amongst many other deeds. Mobile Pack for Feed My Starving Children was a huge undertaking that united people from various churches in the community to help reduce suffering amongst starving people. And I see you're going to do it again, and that's just great. That's outstanding. That's love. I've watched and learned from many people who have helped this church grow and reach out to others. Yeah, it's not only about caring and praying for each other, but it's about reaching out beyond these walls, and you do that too. I sincerely apologize for the many other acts of love that I didn't name. We dearly miss you and all that goes on here. We have found a great new church home, Grace Bible Chapel, in Grand Rapids, Minnesota. But let me assure you, it'll never, ever replace you. It can't. We know that one of the two greatest commandments is that we're to love our neighbors as ourselves. Deuteronomy 6:5 says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and all your strength. Leviticus 19:18 tells us, do not seek revenge or bear a grudge against anyone among your people, but love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord. I like how this verse ends with, I am the Lord. It shows us how important these commands are, and that how we need to make God the Lord of our lives by following him. If you want to follow along in your pew Bibles, feel free. We're going to go over the sermon text, Luke 10. Luke 10, verse 25. Beginning with verse 25, we read, on one occasion, an expert in the law stood up to test Jesus. Teacher, he asked, what must I do to inherit eternal life? What is written in the law? Jesus replied. How do you read it? He answered, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, with all your mind. And love your neighbor as yourself. You've answered correctly, Jesus replied. Do this and you will live. So at this point, Jesus revealed what we are to do to attain eternal life. Verse 29. But he wanted to justify himself, so he asked Jesus, and who is my neighbor? In reply, Jesus said, a man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho when he was attacked by robbers. They stripped him of his clothes, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. A priest happened to be going down the same road, and when he saw the man, he passed by on the other side. So too, a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, as he traveled, came where the man was, and when he saw him, took pity on him. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. Then he put the man on his own donkey and brought him to an inn and took care of him. The next day he took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper. "Look after him," he said, "and when I return, I will reimburse you for any extra expense you may have." At this point, the Samaritan has incurred personal inconvenience. He interrupted his day. Before you dismiss this as a small sacrifice, how many of us have neglected the needs of others due to our busyness? I know I have. How about the financial costs resulting from helping this man? He poured oil and wine over his wounds and then paid for a hotel room. If that wasn't enough, before the Samaritan left the next day, he told the innkeeper to take care of the beaten man, and when he returned, he would compensate the innkeeper for cost of the room, food, and whatever else the man needed. That's love. The Samaritan also risked danger to himself by stopping to attend to the beaten man's wounds. He too could have been beaten or killed. But he loved his neighbor above his own concern for personal safety. We finish this parable in verses 36 to 37. Which of these three do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of robbers? The expert in the law replied, "The one who had mercy on him." Jesus told them, "Go and do likewise." But who is our neighbor? What makes a neighbor? Is it geographic proximity? Race? Religion? Same social status? Same economic status? Jesus makes it clear who our neighbors are in telling this parable. In this study, a lawyer asked Jesus to tell him who his neighbor is and what it means to love one's neighbor. With his response, Jesus overturns our traditional definitions and shatters our stereotypes. There was deep hatred between the Jews and Samaritans. The Jews saw themselves as pure descendants of Abraham, while the Samaritans were a mixed race produced when Jews from the northern kingdom intermarried with people after Israel's exile. To this lawyer, the person least likely to act correctly would have been the Samaritan. Put yourself in the place of this expert in the law who's questioning Jesus. How might you feel in response to your first 2 encounters with Jesus? Would you feel surprised by Jesus' response? Humbled? Maybe you would have learned how to attain eternal life and also learned who is your neighbor. Chances are the lawyer didn't quite expect Jesus' answer. Most likely he expected a concrete answer relating to the head and not the heart. But before we roast this lawyer, do we exercise clear knowledge of who our neighbors are? Do we love those who Jesus says are our neighbors? Love means acting to meet the needs of others. It means taking care of those who cannot take care of themselves. Wherever you live, there are needy people close by. We need to identify people in need so we can spread the love of Jesus and expand his kingdom on earth. Kids. Hopefully there's a few kids out there. What can you do to show love to your neighbor? And by neighbor, I mean anyone in need. Have you witnessed other kids being bullied? Maybe you yourself have been bullied. Stand up for those being bullied and let the perpetrators know that what they're doing is not right. It's not okay to pick on others, unless it's Jordan. If you see someone who eats lunch alone, sit by them and talk to them. Be sensitive to their needs. Be sensitive to those who are experiencing bad days for whatever reason. Pay attention to those around you and do what Jesus wants you to do. One last thing, kids. Do you know how much it means to the elderly when you take time to visit with them? You can do so much to spread the love of Jesus to others. Adults, do we recognize those who are in short supply of food or other necessities? Are we there to help others with physical ailments or disabilities? We can help by doing shopping for them, with them, doing yard work, blowing, shoveling snow, whatever it takes. Do we show our love by comforting others who have lost loved ones? Last but not least, do we plant the seed of what Jesus will do for those who still do not believe? What greater act of love can we perform than by helping the others along the path to salvation? As Pastor Noel Vold once said during spiritual life meetings here, harvest another soul for Christ. Remember our friend Hugo Taliax? Cameras showed that one man photographed Taliax with a cell phone while he's dying in the street. 18 others saw him or walked right past him. All others refused to render aid or contact authorities. The closest anyone came to helping was a man who shook the body vigorously, but walked away after seeing the pool of blood. Firefighters arrived 15 minutes later, but by then it was too late. Speaking of firefighters, we read about the scary fire that approached Beulah. And we, like many, were thinking and praying for you. Thank God for the sacrifices by the firefighters and law enforcement. They certainly don't get enough of our thanks. It was also touching to see how the community responded with food, drinks, and other supplies for emergency personnel. The outpouring of thankfulness for all who helped just reminded us of the kind, loving people who are in this community. These are all acts of love. From Valley News Live in Fargo, North Dakota, comes this story. Just 1 year after taking on the National Football League as a rookie quarterback, Carson Wentz adds another major project to his workload. I never thought I'd be talking about a Bison player and praising him and his works, but this man certainly deserves it. More than 250 people filled Oxbow Country Club in Oxbow, North Dakota on July 12th. So that was what? Just not even 2 weeks ago. To kick off fundraising for the Carson Wentz AO1 Foundation. The Philadelphia Eagles quarterback has launched his foundation as a nonprofit organization whose mission is to demonstrate the love of God by providing opportunities and support for the less fortunate and those in need. What is becoming his well-known mantra takes center stage in his foundation's logo, the AO1, meaning audience of one. For Wentz, that audience of one, no matter what he does in life, is Jesus Christ. According to the foundation's website, there are three separate branches of focus. Number one, underprivileged youth, to care for and provide food, shelter, and educational opportunities for underprivileged youth living abroad. Number two, hunting and outdoor opportunities, to provide hunting and outdoor opportunities for individuals with physical challenges, the underserved, or U.S. vets living in the Midwest. Number three, service dogs, to support youth in Philadelphia by providing service dogs to assist with their development and quality of life. That is being a good Samaritan. That is being a good neighbor. That is sharing God's love. So what can we take away from this lesson today? Love your neighbor. Your neighbor is anyone who's in need. Your neighbor is someone who cannot provide for his or her own needs. Your neighbor is someone from any socioeconomic status, any race, community, state, or nation. Your neighbor is someone who doesn't know the Lord. Think of a time when you experienced love from someone which was expressed in a practical way. What was it like to be loved that way? How did you feel when you experienced love from someone you did not expect? God didn't just say he loved you, he showed it. The Bible says in Romans chapter 5, verse 8, God showed his great love for us by sending Christ to die for us while we were still sinners. I can relate to that personally. He loved me when I wasn't showing love for him. He loved me when I was showing love for the world. But he remained faithful. In another personal note, so we had planned this schedule starting Thursday, going back to visit my dad and then my wife's mom and people in Beulah, and then the real prize coming here today. But last Monday, my uncle passed away. He was like a dad to me because we farmed together. My dad and him farmed together their whole lives. And our land ran adjacent to each other's. He was a very nice guy. Yes, as most farmers do, he yelled at me. You don't do that, do you, Mr. Brandt? But he would do that if I'd do something stupid, or I remember one night falling asleep in a grain truck and his combine was full and he was yelling, but boy, the very next chance he got, he patted me on the leg and said, "Good job, you did good tonight." He was always just a kind, loving man. But I guess I digress. Members of my family saw God's love in a very personal way last Monday when Uncle Gene passed away. His blood pressure was down to the point of death. They removed the breathing apparatus. His blood pressure was down to the point of death. His oxygen level also there. When all of a sudden, he kind of raised his head up off the pillow and smiled. And there were five people in the room at the time. And each one of them, I talked to them, they had the same exact description. They said, it wasn't just a smile. It was an ear-to-ear smile. His eyes open, smiling wide, and his head tilted back, and he passed away. And they said it was the most beautiful thing they had ever seen. And they also said, we need to ask him what he saw. But we know that he caught a glimpse, just a glimpse of God's glory. And look how God cares for an individual. This is the God of the universe. And he cares about my uncle. He cares about me, which is really hard for me to fathom. He cares about you. His love is just off the charts. It's hard to wrap your mind around God's love. But in that funeral, Pastor Mark Antel, I know some of you know who he is. He gave a beautiful evangelistic message, just talking about how important God is to your life and how we need to recognize what Jesus did on the cross, confess our sins, and spread this good news to others. That's how we show love to others. That's the most important way we can show love to others. So if you honestly say Jesus is Lord, and if you believe with all your heart that Jesus raised him from death, God will accept you and save you. If you truly believe this and tell it to others, show love for others by sharing the great news of salvation. Don't miss your opportunity to share God's love. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, you've given us the examples. Your word is our manual to live by. Help us to recognize those who are in need. Help us to be bold in our faith and to spread the great news of your Son's salvation for us. He died for us. That's how much you loved us. That's how much Jesus loved us. He's willing to die a torturous death. Help us to be bold and keep others from entering eternity the wrong way. Lord God, please be with us and help us apply your precious word this week and for the rest of our time here on this earth. In Jesus' precious name, I pray. Amen.